My name is John Challis, and I played Captain Peacock on Are You Being Served, the updated version of it. That was beginning of last year, I guess, that sort of time, wasn't it? How I got cast was I'd done several episodes of Benidorm, you know, that series I've been out there was 4 years running, and I did the last series of it, and the writer of that was somebody called Darren Litton, and I suppose he must have liked what I did, and he said, how do you fancy, he'd been asked to write a new script for Are You Being Served, because they were doing new versions of a whole lot of old comedy series at that time, the BBC. And this was one of them. And he said, how would you like to play Captain Peacock? And I went, I jumped at it because I remember it so well. So I went. I had to go and audition for it. I had to go and meet people. But the director was somebody called Dewey Humphreys, who I didn't know he was directing it, but he was, because he directed a lot of The Green Green Grass, which was a spin-off from Only Fools and Horses. So I was lucky. It was like, so sort of who you know, I suppose. I knew the writer and I knew the director, and all I had to do was to do a decent version of it, and I did. They seemed to like it, and so I got offered the part. And that was a great moment. I was really looking forward to it. About a month later, we went up to Manchester and did it. Yeah, I remember watching it years ago, and of course he was one of my favourite characters, Frank. And I finished up meeting him and working with him on Last of the Summer Wine many years later. So he's someone I'd always seen on movies and in comedies and so on all through my life, really. You know, he was in so many things and such a great character. So, and I knew how popular he was, you know, and what a great character he was. So it was very difficult, really, to think about, oh, I've got to get my own head around this and I've got to make it mine. But it is what it is. It's a particular sort of character. It's got a sort of slightly military background, and the clues in the name, Captain Peacock, you know, and he tried to run the whole thing as a sort of military operation, really, you know, which is what people found funny. And he was also quite, sort of old school, you know, so he didn't quite approve of a lot of things that were going on. So it was great fun. Great fun for me, and it was a great privilege, really, to try and come up to his standard. And so, anyway, I went in there and I had a go, and it seemed to work okay. But it was a great treat for me, I have to say. But a little worrying, a little frightening to try and follow him. I used to see it on quite a regular occasions. You know, when it was on, it was one of those things you dipped in and out of. You know, I can't say I watched every single episode, but I was never a massive television watcher anyway, really, but it was something that I did see and I found very funny. And so whenever I was, I was a loose end, I was watching telly or something with some chums, whatever it was, we switch it on and we have a good laugh, you know. So I saw, I don't know how many episodes I saw, but quite a few, I guess, you know, and it was a bit rude, of course, but it always made me laugh, I must say. they went outside a couple of times, but I didn't. My character didn't. Captain Peacock didn't. So it was all done in the studio with this fantastic set of the interior of this department store, and up in Salford. You know, the BBC studios up there in Salford. And it's just the most wonderful set, I have to say. And again, there was somebody else I've recognised because the designer was also the designer we had on All the Green Green Grass. So it was really nice. But there was so much detail on it, you know, in the ash trays that were dotted about. Not that anyone was likely to smoke in these days. You know, it was it was an ashtray from those times, a reproduction ashtrays from those times. So the detail was absolutely extraordinary. And it was one of those sets that you walked on to, and after you'd rehearsed a bit, you know, you really felt at home. It was so well done. And I often wonder what happened to it, actually, because it was so clever and so detailed. But maybe sitting around somewhere, hoping that they might do a new series of it one day. Who knows? I was going to say that we recorded the whole thing with a live audience, you know, but I was used to that because Only Fools and Horses and The Green Green Grass were all done with a live audience, you know. So I was used to the fact that we were in a studio, but there was a live audience there, like in the theatre. Mm-hmm. You know, and the reaction to it was absolutely terrific, I have to say. So we were delighted that at the end of the recording that it had gone so well. I think it's one of the most amazing casts I've ever worked with, really. If you think of who was in it, you know, there's so many people from that you knew from other shows. You know, like Matt Horn, Nicky Wardley, Jason Watkins, Roy Barraclough, of course, Arthur Smith, Justin Edwards, and extraordinary cast, you know. And of course, Sherry Houston, who I've been working with recently on Benidorm. So we hooked up again together. So it didn't take long to sort of get comfortable with it, I suppose. You know, because everybody sort of knew each other, and in any case, even if you haven't worked together, you sort of know who people are, you know. So it's like they're an acquaintance of yours anyway to begin with, you know. And as you get on through the show, of course, you know, with some people you can get quite friendly, with others perhaps not so friendly, you know. But you still work together well and respect each other. And as I say, you start off with acquaintances, because I knew everybody in the business, you know. I didn't know Georgie Porter, I have to say, or Coyote, our hero, and I'd not met him before, but it worked out to be a terrific cast, I think, and everyone was really up for it, you know. And of course, Jason Watkins has had great success and won a BAFTA and all that, so. Something he'd done, so terrific actor, you know, but a sort of brave move for him, really, to try and to follow John Inman. But he did it his own way, as we all tried to do, and I think it worked very well, from what people's reaction was, anyway. So no, terrific experience, I must say. It's one of those casts you think, crikey. Tremendous bunch of people, really. I just remember sort of watching it and having a good laugh and so on, but I was just more interested, I've always been more interested in the characters and sort of what happens to them in a lot of ways, but there were so many wonderful things happening, you know, with in a department store. You can imagine there's so many very good props there. But I just sort of saw quite a few episodes of it, and I just remember having a good time every time, you know. And that sort of became the case in the version we did, you know. Had some terrific scenes there with Jason Watkins and so on, and with Roy Barraclough too. We all did our "I'm free" and "Are you free?" and "Are you sure you're free?" And I mean, all that sort of thing went on, you know. And then Arthur Smith bumbling about in the background, grumbling away, you know. But it was great. It was great fun, I must say. And Mr. Rumbold, I enjoyed working with a lot. Justin Edwards, that was. And we had a couple of scenes together, which I think if I had to choose one, you know, those are my favourite scenes in that particular version of it, you know. I don't know, we just sort of clicked really well. And I'd worked with Sherry Houston, of course, as I say, through Benidorm, and we got on pretty well during that. Well, we must have done, we got married. Not really, but in the show. So we had a bit of chemistry together, I suppose. And so it was, I mean, all the scenes were terrific for me. And you can see you know, the chemistry in the original cast. They obviously all gone on terribly well together. Well, it looked as though they did anyway. And they all had their parts to play. And you could see how it ran and why it ran, you know, for so long. Because there were so many favourite bits in it for people, you know, up and down in that lift and so on, you know. There's some terrific stuff. So I think the favourite scene really was the whole thing. For me, anyway. And of course, Sherry Houghton falling foul of some unspecified awfulness and coming in looking as though she'd just been down a sewer somewhere was an extraordinary moment for us all, I think. obviously, the world has moved on since it was originally done, when that sort of those sort of jokes were very, it was a real sort of end of the pier humour. Wasn't it? So seaside postcard stuff, you know, and it was a catchphrase that people loved, you know, and they couldn't wait for it. So you couldn't really sort of take it out because everybody's waiting for it. When we did our version, you know, Darren had to incorporate that in as soon as it came. There was always a cheer every time she talked about her pussy, you know, and of course, I'm free. And as soon as Jason said that, you know, the whole audience went up, you know, so they're waiting for those moments, you know, the very special moments for people. And you could say, well, it's a bit near the knuckles and it probably wouldn't be acceptable to do a whole series these days, which I think is sort of a bit silly, really. I mean, because it was all the time and that was fine. You know, everybody was doing it, you know, Malcolm and Wise the two Ronnies, and it was going on in every show. There was sort of double entendres, you know. I think it worked very well. Well, certainly with our audience, it was great for them to revisit it. I mean, I guess there was a bit of a sort of a, ooh, you know, because as I say, fashions change, you know, and one has to be a little careful these days, but it was, I don't know, it was just great to be part of it, you know, and see the reaction to it, I think. I just remember, you know, people now and again forgetting their words and having to do it again, so on, all those sort of things, you know, which is difficult. But the audience love it, you know, they love it. It was the same in Only Fools and Horses, you know, anybody forgot their lines, so the audience thought it was hilarious. I mean, the poor actors sort of sitting there going, feeling really stupid because it's the one thing you don't want to do, you know. But at least it's easier these days because you've got another go at it. You know, in the days of live television, I think I only ever did one live television show where if you make a mistake, you've just got to carry on. But in, you know, in these guys, I suppose mentally you're more prepared for it because you think, well, I can always have another go at it, so you're a bit more relaxed about it. And I just, you know, a couple of occasions, you know, some people would forget things. I forgot my lines at one point, and people thought it was hilarious. But you've got to, you can't take yourself seriously. You've just got to, if you can, you've got to take the audience with you and laugh at yourself, you know, and then they. And they're right on your side, and they'll come with you, and they'll laugh at more things you do. But I don't remember any great bloopers at all, really. No, I have to say. Oh yes, it's a documentary about Serbia. Yes, because I suddenly learned that they're very keen on Only Fools and Horses in Serbia, and I knew somebody who was a producer, entrepreneur, sort of person who comes from that part of the world. Not from Serbia, but from Montenegro. And he came to see my one-man show, and we thought what a good idea it would be to do a documentary about Serbia, because we wanted to try and find out why Only Fools and Horses was so popular. And it was just amazing when we went out there to do it, because there were red carpets all over the place, and people, you know, calling out Boyce's name in the street, and where's Del Boy, and always happening as if it's in London. And there were murals all over the place, Del Boy and Rodney, and I got to a lot of amazing places. I got to a royal palace. So the red carpet's out for me, the royal palace. And the royal family are apparently big fans of the show. They weren't there at the time, I have to say, but their palace certainly was, and I was shown around the palace, and I don't live there anymore. But I learned a lot about the history of Serbia. And so we did his DVD, and yes, it's the release is on June the 14th, but it is available now on my new website, which is John Stroke Chalice. Sorry, John Dash Chalice. I always wanted a dash, a hyphen. I got it right. This is the third time I've had a go at it. They just changed it. It's John-Chalice.com. There's lots of links to merchandise and books and the video messages and all sorts of things on that new website. So that's where to get it. A lot of people have seen it and they've enjoyed it and they found it very, not only very funny but very interesting as well. So I can hardly recommend it, but then I would, wouldn't I? Well, thanks for having me. Terrific. I hope it works out well, but I'm sure it will. So, terrific. Yeah, thanks a lot, and speak to you again, I'm sure.